Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, team, welcome back. Todd Doherty, Manage Me Podcast. Super excited about this guest today. We kind of go way back, sort of a weird family friendship relationship. We don't get into that too much, but that's how we met. Andy Summers here on the phone. Can't wait to talk about his journey, his career success, and where he's going. So Andy is the owner operator of FMS, Fitness, Mindfulness, Sustainability. And Andy, tell us, introduce yourself and tell us your journey.
All right. Thanks, Todd. I certainly appreciate you inviting me on and am really excited about the fact that we are doing this because, it's funny how we got here, right? Or how you got here, not how we got here, I guess, but I feel like I certainly was a part of this because we talked a few months ago and you said you were very interested in starting a podcast and here we are and you're doing it. So I think that's fantastic. I think that's wonderful.
I have to thank you for the coffee, and we talked about a lot of these topics, and as we parted, and it was like hours. So hopefully we'll try to do the same here on this podcast. Is we have probably 12 hours of content, but we'll probably have to just narrow it down. Remember, we held each other accountable for one thing each.
Absolutely.
And we both did it, right? So one was, I said, Andy, you're talking about publishing a book and you got to do it. And boom, you did it. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And you said, well, hey, listen, I want to be a guest on your podcast. So, and I hadn't even started a podcast at that point. So here we are. So yeah, absolutely.
And here you are. Yep. No, I love that. I think that's, and I think that's just for me and then talking to you as well. And I think there's so many other people out there that are, thinking about pivoting or doing something different than what they're doing or not even necessarily doing something different. Really, I guess, speaking career wise, but more so just wanting to add some additional value into the life they're living,
just change their life in some way. They want to do some improvements, but they don't know where to begin.
Add purpose, whatever that may look like. But I think they're, it's not just exclusive clearly to you and I. I think there's a large population that is out there that may be struggling a little bit in their mind, right? Because that's where all of this comes from. But you see it too. I know you've seen it in, through LinkedIn feeds and other news feeds about, the great resignation or the great awakening or whatever this movement is that's going on in the job market. And it's clear that one of the things that has come out of the pandemic amongst, many things, but one has, really a lot of people evaluating what it is that they're doing for a career or what it is they're doing with the life they're living. And, I think they're figuring out some of the things that, where they can add value or things that they value, and they're not quite getting enough of that. And they're spending time doing, many other things that are of less value from their perspective. So, I think it's very interesting, and we're in some very interesting times right now. And, I'm excited about the journey that I'm on and that you're on and so many other people that are on. right now, and interested to see what's going to come out of this.
So. I can't agree more. I mean, I know I'm going through it. You're going through it. You're a little bit ahead of me for sure. But I know one thing, you know, lots of good, lots of bad came out of this pandemic, right? We learned a lot about people, but I think a lot of people learned about themselves, or at least started to learn about themselves, to kind of add to your point. You know, and one of the things I learned was how powerful, you know, your mind is. You know, between your two ears, all those thoughts about, because we all spend a lot of time at home by ourselves, not in the office. You know, there's a lot of, like, I'll say quiet time, but, you know, reflection time of, am I happy? Am I doing the right thing? You know, I'm scared. You know, if you think back, we seem to be kind of coming out of this a little bit, although, you know, some cases are increasing. We won't get into that. But when this first came, I was scary. Like, can I even get groceries delivered to my house without being sick? If you guys remember that, right? That was scary times. And anyway, I think you're absolutely right. People are saying, you know, what drives me? What gets me excited? And what I don't want to see, and I haven't really seen it a lot, but it's people just like quit their jobs with no rational explanation or target or path of what they're going to do and achieve, right? I don't want to see that. Yes,
for sure.
But what I'm starting to see is, you know, side hustles, like a podcast, like, you know, writing, or, you know, things like that, that people are starting to do to figure it out what makes them happy and challenged and growing as a person. And so I know you did that, and, you know, how did you start that? How did you, like, what made that shift, and how did you, you know, what were the things that triggered the shift, and then how did you manage that shift?
Yeah, no, those are great questions, and it's funny because I feel like what we're talking about right now with the pandemic and a lot of kind of the social issues and everything else that's kind of going on with all of that, like you discussed, people thinking about things differently. I did that, I'd say about 3 years ago now. Okay. And it really, I was at that point clearly before the pandemic, and spent 25 years. I had a 25 year career in retail, and, you know, for various different organizations. Toward the end, I was of my career, I was traveling quite a bit. I was making really good money, had a great team, and, you know, over the years have developed some incredible relationships with some folks that are still great friends today. I met my wife, you know, working retail, so wouldn't trade any of that for the world, right? But toward the end of it, you know, and there were times here and there where I felt kind of stuck, I guess you could say, and feeling as though, you know, when you, like a lot of people, when you work for someone else or a business and you see things that operationally or HR wise or sales, whatever, different processes that you say, you know what, I could do this and I could probably do it better. Yeah. Couldn't do it, maybe not on the scale that they're doing it, but I know that, you know, what I value and what I can bring to the table, I could probably do just as good, if not better. And it didn't, you know, those things happened throughout my career, but just brief moments here and there, like I'm sure a lot of people go through in different types of job settings. So fast forward 25 years into the career, I was at the point where I was making the most money I ever made, had the biggest team. I'm traveling, you know, had a very large team, traveling all over the U.S., getting to see all these wonderful cities and, you know, spending time doing that, making great connections, networking with some amazing people and working with, you know, different levels of people that are just brilliantly amazing and awesome. And, you know, but I was away from my family, and there were certain things that I valued that I could tell were being neglected. And, you know, so my family was number one. Number two was it was really impacting my health, my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health. You know, so I took a step back and I said, okay, this is heading down a path I don't want it to head down. Or I'm heading down a path. It wasn't like something else was controlling me. I was heading down a path that I didn't want to head. And so I made a conscious decision to start figuring out, you know, what it is that I want to do moving forward. What kind of purpose or what kind of meaning can I bring to this life that I have? Because, you know, we all have that date that we're born, and we have the date that we pass, and we have no idea when that is, but we've got that dash in the middle that we've got to figure out, you know, how do we make the most of that dash? Because that dash goes by pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
and you only get one shot at it. That, you don't get a redo.
That's exactly right. You know, that people say you only live once. It's not true. You only die once, you know, so you make the best of the living that you get. And
I just heard that. I just heard that a couple weeks back, you know, you only live once. And I don't remember where I saw it or read it, but it was like, no, you live every day.
That's right.
You only die once.
That's exactly right.
I read that like four times. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Wow. That's really, wow. Yeah. I'm never going to say you only live once anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly somebody made a lot of money off the YOLO shirts and all that, but, which is great. You know, it's cool. It's good for them. But I think somebody now has said, well, no, you really only die once. So anyway, I started, you know, I knew what to do. Okay. I say many people, you know, if you've had any success in life, whether it's career or you've done well with family or any sort of relationships, anything like that, then you know some of what it takes, the recipe to deliver success. And you have I won't say control, but you have certainly a large stake of influence in what happens with the life you're living. There's certainly a tremendous amount of obstacles that are thrown your way, and life is certainly not short of that. But you can also figure a lot of things out, and if you need to pivot, if a door closes, figure out where the other one is that needs to open, and just go open the door. You know, there's so many opportunities out there. So I remember I was sitting down one morning. I got up kind of early and just started doing a lot of research. And I found a podcast, because I was thinking, you know what, I've got to set aside, kind of figure out a side hustle, if you will, to figure out if I'm able to grow some revenue and build a business successfully while I still have a job. And so I'm researching that, and it one thing led to another that led me to a morning routine. And it was a book, really. It was called The Miracle Morning. It was Hal Elrod. I'm not sure if you have heard of him, but he's high energy dude. He's a really nice, really good guy. You know, I think he's a genuinely good guy. Short read. And I went through that book, and so much of that stuff just hit home, and it was so simple, like so many things, right? It's just the simpler it is, I think the better, when it comes to certain things in life. And this was certainly no exception to that rule, and just started implementing a couple things that were in that morning routine. And, you know, it was about 30, I had to wake up about 30 minutes earlier than I normally did. And it started to click, and things started to really change pretty rapidly. My energy specifically started to change rapidly. And it went from 30 minutes waking up early to about 45 to an hour, to where if you fast forward today, you know, I take about 2.5 to 3 hours every morning to focus on me. And it may sound selfish initially. And actually wrote a blog about this a while back that, you know, truly, if I were to ask you, Todd, okay, so who are the five most important people in life for you? Right. I would imagine five out of five are probably going to be family.
Yeah.
Right. And most of the time, most people are not going to include themselves in that. And as I thought about that, and I've really spent a lot of time thinking about that, is truly you are the only person who can control as much of the outcome of life that you live. You know, you're that person. Nobody else can control that. And you can't certainly control anybody else. I mean, I know you're married and you have children, and you know, you certainly have influence, but you can't control control anything those people do, right?
And it's funny you mentioned that, because Marcy, my wife, you know her. We talk about this every once in a while, and you know, I like to think I've got two girls, and I like to think we did okay. You know, we're pretty good. They're alive, they're educated. They're doing fine. But over the years, we talked consciously about you know, if we aren't right, Marcy and I, like if we as a couple, like we need to come first. And it's really hard to do that when you have young kids, because it's all about the kids, right? But that's we certainly didn't neglect them, of course. But like we had to go on a date night and we had to have discussions and talks and all that stuff. And we had to be right, whatever right means, you know what I mean? It's a big term, but we had to be good and right and connected. Otherwise, it didn't matter. Like none of the other stuff mattered. But it's interesting. I guess I never really thought about before Marcy and I are right, I got to be right. Right. And exactly. Never, ever, dude, I ever do that, period. Like just, I don't know. And you're right. I think it's because I know for me, and I think many others feel this way, is you feel selfish doing it. But
exactly.
You can't, because I mean, you hit the nail on the head. If you're not right, nothing else is going to be right.
That's exactly right. So, you know, some examples of that would be, okay, so let's say as an example, and it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care who it is in the family. If you as the individual are the breadwinner, you bring in the majority of the income, the majority of the financial security, all that comes along for the ride, right? Yep. With that, which is a tremendous responsibility for that particular person of the family. That's a lot. That is a lot of responsibility, first of all. But second of all, if something happens to you, then what happens to your family?
Right.
You had better hope that you put enough money aside to take care of them for the long term, right? Or at least put together enough, you know, enough for them to keep going, and then somebody else step in and take over that role.
Pick it up, yeah.
Sorry, it's going to be loud on your podcast. I'm sure somebody has a loud motorcycle going by.
You. That's okay.
Gives a character.
That's right. This is real world here.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you don't take care of yourself or whoever that person is, right, and so it doesn't take care of themselves, then you're what are you leaving behind?
Right.
Right. And I've known so many people who are tremendously successful financially. But they neglect so many other aspects of health.
Yes.
And, you know, and that can be very detrimental, because number one, it's just pointed out kind of the obvious, right? But number two, you're also setting an example of what really, what do you value out of life?
Right.
Okay. So if you value just the financial security, well, then you're working hard, and that's great. I mean, you could be providing absolute meaningful work and purposeful work, and it's helping a tremendous amount of people, you know, and there's plenty of people who do that, and that is very rewarding work. But if you spend more time doing that than you do on other things that you place a higher value on, which may be, you know, spending time with loved ones and creating some of those experiences that are meaningful, because back to your point about you and Marcy, and a lot of couples, I think, go down that path, to your point, is that, you know, you have those children for 18 years, maybe 20 years, 22, 24, whatever, until
you're lucky,
the point,
right? Yeah.
Right. Until the point that they go into college, maybe go off to school, get a job, get some sort of vocation where they go out on their own. And, mm-hmm. and if you've done a good enough job, hopefully as a parent, then they do that. But then it's just you and your wife, right? It's just, or you and your husband, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So if you don't put each other first, because you certainly don't want to have a failure to launch kind of situation where you've got a 40-year-old child at home. Certainly there's special circumstances, and I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
But you don't want a child, because you're clinging onto that as my identity is a parent, and I want to be just that motherly, fatherly person for the rest of my, of course you're going to be there to love them, to give them advice, to welcome them in your home as much as possible. Yep. But at the same time, they have something to contribute to the world as well. And you know, so if you establish those boundaries and you know, make sure that they are clear where you stand as a couple and where you stand as an individual, and they can learn from that, then maybe they can be better suited and better set up to do something purposeful and meaningful in the world for them, for, you know, for them and for a contribution they're going to make. Right. So
I say this, I always say this, and listen, I don't give parental advice. I share my own, and I would never push my parental advice on anyone else, just like I wouldn't push anything on someone else. But I certainly share my ideas. But I've always said my job as a parent is to raise capable, independent adults. And when I see that, I've succeeded. But it's hard. Like, you know, you when they are capable, independent adults and you let them go, you know, there's a whole side of you that's proud and there's probably another side that's like, whew, off the payroll, you know. But the other the other part is, you know, it's scary because you just spent whatever 18, 20, whatever years building all that, and then you gotta let it go, you know.
That's right.
And it's hard, but I feel that's our jobs as parents.
That's right. And so you take that a step further and you say, okay. Well, let's kind of step out of that role for just a minute and look at this from a higher level and say, okay, well, so there's the family dynamic and there's the couple dynamic, because hopefully you and Marcy and myself and Vicky and, you know, all couples make it to that 50, 60, 70 year anniversary, right? Where you're enjoying life together and you're getting those experiences together. But there's also Todd. There's also Andy. There's also each individual that, you know, because you show up for different people in the community, for the people you serve in your career, the people that, you know, you involve yourself in, whatever groups that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, in order to become that best version of you, you have to focus on you. And, you know, there are some amazing companies who do a great job in the quote unquote development aspect of their employees with training programs, and more they're offering, you know, certifications for certain types of learning. And I love that. The thing that I guess I struggled with and didn't click for me until a few years ago was like, that's up to me. I shouldn't have to, shouldn't have to wait for somebody else to say, hey, you need to spend some time learning and developing yourself and making yourself better. And, you know, thank goodness that while I'm still here, it did click for me. I just, you know, unfortunately it was later in my career or later in life for me. But it has been just tremendous. All the things that I have learned and all of the things that I still need to learn, and realizing all that and putting forth the effort to again, 2.5-3 hours every morning, just to focus on myself. Right. And I don't spend that time on myself during what we'll call the working hours, if you will. So, yeah, there's sacrifice in the fact that I go to bed a little bit earlier maybe than I used to, and I get up way earlier than I used to.
Right.
But that time is mine.
Right.
And in order for me to be the best father, to be the best husband, to be the best boss, employee, friend, you know, whatever relative that I can be, the best version of myself, I have to do that. You can't expect somebody else to do that for you.
Right.
Nor should you.
Two things on that. One is, I don't remember who said it, but I think it's an old Chinese proverb, but you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Right. So
you know,
while you said, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing you've kind of found this later in life or whatever, but you know what? Don't put that as an excuse. You know, if you want to change something, start today, you know, and just start doing something rather than start thinking about something, right? Just do it and fail fast. If it's not working for you, getting up at 4:30, whatever, and try 5 or whatever, you know. I think that's one of the things that people get in their minds is, well, you know, it won't be perfect or I won't do it completely or whatever. Well, just start doing something. And I think you even did that. You said you woke up half an hour earlier and you had a routine and you made it 45 minutes and you improved. And now you have a morning routine that works really well for you because you started.
Look, you could do some of these things in just 5 minutes, and it sounds crazy.
Right.
But truly, if you think about it, I mean, how many push-ups could you do in 60 seconds? How many sentences or pages, maybe, depending on how, you know, for me, it has evolved into and went from an hour or 30 minutes initially to 45 to an hour. And now is again, 2.5 to 3 hours every morning. But there are certain things that you can certainly do and accomplish within a very short period of time with some of these things. And, you know, a lot of this came from that initial read from the Miracle Morning book I was referring to of with Hal Elrod. So I started writing down a lot of, you know, what was I learning from this? What was I getting out of this? And how could I incorporate some of this into my own? And, you know, what's going to work for me? Because that's just it, is there's so much good stuff out there. There's, you know, you think about all the books that have been written, all the podcasts that are out there, all the videos on YouTube. There's just a wealth of information of how to become successful in XYZ or how someone has found success in it. And, you know, you just don't, what I would say is don't spend so much time doing the research. Find something that you enjoy doing. Mirror that up with what you value and what you're passionate about. And that's what that's what started it for me, is I wrote down and said, okay, what am I good at? Okay. What skill sets, what talents do I have? And what am I passionate about and what do I value? And I just started writing those things down, and it wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things are probably somewhat common with other people. Some other people value other things differently, and that's okay. But just figure that out and write it down, and really spend some thoughtful time on that. Think about it, write it down. And then from there, go after it and say, okay, how can I incorporate these things into what I'm doing? And as you said, you don't have to, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, if your income is paying for your bills and you are the breadwinner, or it's contributing a significant amount to paying the bills, don't just jump ship and say, I'm starting all over from scratch.
Right.
I mean, have a plan, right?
Yeah, right.
But you can certainly spend 30 minutes, an hour, a couple hours a day, and work toward, you know, an idea that you may have of something where you could contribute to meaningful work and having a purpose in this life outside of just, you know, doing it for somebody else. And that's okay. It's not like, you know, the work that's when they're working for somebody else, it's not like that contribution is not valued or right. is not providing meaning. It may be, and that's perfectly fine. But is it, you know, when you look back and you say, okay, 10, 20, 30, whatever, however old people are, years from now, and I'm looking back and I'm looking back at all the things that I've done, all the things I've wanted to do, and where I currently am I going to be extremely happy with those decisions? Am I going to look in the mirror at that person standing, you know, looking back at me and saying, you know what, there's so much stuff that you did that you should absolutely be proud of? Or am I going to say, man, if only I would have blank, right? If only I would have done this, or if I'd have just tried that, or if I would have just, you know, taken a step and, you know, tried something different. I don't want to do that. And certainly since I've started this, I've bumped my toe, my head, like I've, you know, there's so many things where I've come up short versus where I thought I could be or would be, but man, I've had so much that I've learned, so far. And I've had so much that, I know I've still got to learn, but I'm having fun doing it. And I'm really, I've come so much closer to my family. The relationships that I have are so much better and more meaningful and deeper. And I'm able to do so many more things right now. Granted, there's still not enough time in the day, so that doesn't change, but, you know, it's certainly, I think, an exercise that is well worth doing to think about truly, what are you passionate about? What are you good at? What do you value? Write those things down and start working toward, like, set a goal. Okay, here are those three kind of things that I am passionate about, I'm skilled at, and I value, and start to align. Okay, how do I bring those together? And then what's my goal? What do I want this to look like 10 years from now, right? And just kind of work backwards and say, okay, so in 10 years, and make it big, man. Make it a huge goal where you say, gosh, that seems very audacious. I don't know if I can do it, but that's okay. I mean, that's okay. You don't want to sell yourself so short that 10 years from now, you're like, well, that was easy. Right. And it may not be as meaningful. So, you know, I put mine as that I want to help a million people become better in their health, right? Get to the point where they are extremely happy and satisfied with their health. And so a million people is, it's not a bunch of people if you think about it, but certainly with, you know, living where I live and not being in LA or New York or some other place that's highly populated like that, or not being a star or somebody who's got a ton of followers on social media or has written, you know, a best-selling book or whatever.
Not yet.
It's a pretty audacious goal.
Yeah, but you're on the path, right?
That's right.
So you got one here, right? So you can count me as one. I don't know. I'm probably not your first, but you can count me as one.
Well, I appreciate that.
The couple things on, you know, I just want to be clear. So, you know, the morning routine, you didn't just read the book and go wholehearted in on everything that Hal said, right? I mean, you kind of said, I like this idea, I'm going to try it. And you put a couple of those things in place and it kind of grew from there, right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay. Because that's important for people to know is, you know, you don't have to read the book or listen to the podcast or whatever the subject matter is and then go wholeheartedly in. You even said it, like, to figure out what works for you and start there.
That's
second
right.
thing that you gave me some great advice a couple months back was, you know, and you mentioned it in your discussion here, is you got to give up some things sometimes. So, you know, if you want to go here, you know, forward to this target, whatever that goal, that target is, what are you willing to give up, right? Is it watching TV or watching TV for an hour every day? Maybe, you know, used to watch 2 hours. Now you only watch an hour or whatever.
Yes.
Right.
I think that's a great point, Todd. I'm glad that you mentioned that because that is such a key part of this is, if you want to, and look, it doesn't matter to me personally, or probably you or anybody else that listens to this, like what you value and what you want to go after and after and how you live life, that's your decision. That's totally up to you. You know, I don't want to judge somebody for that. At the same time, you're absolutely correct. If you have enough time to spend watching 2, 3, 4 hours of we'll call it a combination. Okay. We'll say 2 hours, 2 hours of Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram,
TikTok, whatever.
Twitter. Yeah. Oh yeah. TikTok. I'm not quite on that, but Twitter, any of those, right? A lot of people probably spend a decent amount of time on those. Let's just say it's 2 hours.
Yep.
Maybe a lot more, maybe less, whatever. 2 hours. Well, maybe if you decide and you say, you know what, I want to really focus on me because I don't know that, you know, watching that much of any of those things, certainly there's a lot of great content and educational information on some of those channels. But at the same time, how much of that are you spending on yourself and taking that in and saying, okay, I'm going to apply this to me?
Yeah, so that's the point, to apply it, right?
It's that's versus, right.
Like you just said it before, like, okay, you did enough research, now go do, right?
Yes. Yes, because I guess you could spend the rest of the time you have on this planet just doing research. And,
right.
You know, if you're a scientist, man, that's a big part of it. But
true.
You also have to do. You have to put it into play. You have to take action. If you don't take action, then all it is just stuck in your head. You know, the old saying of knowledge is power. Not really, because if you keep that knowledge in your mind, what power does it have?
Right.
Right. You have to apply it. You have to apply the knowledge. And then that's when it becomes powerful. So, you know, so for me, again, take the 2 hours, whatever time it is.
Yeah.
Can you carve 30 minutes out of that? Can you carve 45? Can you carve an hour out of that? And then apply that toward what I have coined, you know, whether this is original or not, doesn't matter. I'm sure it's not. But I call them the 6 key health disciplines. Okay. So those 6 key health disciplines are about your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, spiritual health, relational health, and financial health.
Yep.
So 5 out of the 6 are, you know, they're directly involving some portion of your mind and body and all of that kind of stuff, right? And then obviously the financial aspect is, however you want to phrase it, but unfortunately it's a necessary evil, I guess you could put it that way. It's not that money's evil or being financially secure is evil. It's not that. But it is one of those things that we have to have in order to survive, to make sure we are able to pay our bills and have shelter and food and clothing, at least the necessities. Doesn't mean you have to have a ton of it, but just enough to live the life that provides you and your family with the necessities you need in order to live.
Well, I think that's a key thing right there, the financial, because I've had some of these conversations with others, and you get the, well, you know, you're well established, not like I'm a, you know, a billionaire, but you know, you're well established, so you can do these kinds of things. I'm like, well, hold on, you know, you define what financial needs you have. So if you want a big house, that's good for you. That's fine. If you want a small house, good for you. Like, so the financial part of it is up to you. And yes, unfortunately, we in this world, we have to have financial resources to pay for things we want. I guess what I'm saying is the want is up to you.
That's right.
There's sort of a base minimum of, you know, food, shelter, clothing kind of thing. But even that, with, you know, the food and, you know, do you go to, you know, Costco, or do you, you know, go to, I'm blanking out on the Trader Joe's or whatever.
Or whatever. I mean, and certainly there are other programs too that exist that, you know, if you get on hard times for whatever reason, then there's resources for that. But, you know, though, I think those, I've given so much, I've literally spent probably the last 3 years thinking about those six key health disciplines and, you know, the habits that are required in order to maximize the benefit. If you were to kind of scale it out and say, okay, I'm really good at, you know, my physical health is in really good condition, right? My mental, like if you were to scale that out and say, okay, where am I on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best there is, or at least the best that I've ever been. Cause you don't, you know, you can't really compare yourself to others as well.
Right.
Because their journey's different. You don't know the experiences they've had. You don't know what all they've been through. So that part doesn't matter. How were you yesterday? How were you a few years ago? You know, and even to that extent, it's like, okay, you are evolving and changing, hopefully every single day, and working toward getting better every single day. That's your measurement. So where do you stand on that scale from a physical health, mental health, emotional health, all those different six key disciplines? And what are you doing about it? What actions are you taking to improve upon those things? Yep. I've thought for the last 2 or 3 years about this so much. And I've written so much about it. Part of the routine is writing, right? That's part of my mental health.
So I was going to ask you about that. Would you mind sharing your morning routine? And like what, you know, you told us you get up early, sacrifice, you get up early, and then you spend time on yourself. But what is that routine? And is it the same every day, or is it that disciplined, or does it change a little bit?
So, and you know, I'm all over the place with this because it gets me excited, you know, because it's made such a difference in the life that I have lived. Like I said, it was 3 years ago. We're standing, taking holiday pictures, and I felt like I was about to have a heart attack. And I'm like, man, I'm like 40 years old. Why do I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack? You know, and was 40 pounds overweight and drinking way too much. You know, and just making excuses about everything. And it was terrible. So fast forward, learned about those things and it wasn't just that book about Hal Elrod. There were others that had great content about morning routine. So I kind of put all that together and came up again, made it my own. So the different points that led me to those six key health disciplines, number one is when I get up and yes, it's very consistent. There may be some mornings where for whatever reason, I don't get up till 5 and, so I miss out on some time. So I make an adjustment, but I still get all of those disciplines in. I make sure that that happens. But most of the time I'm up between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. And I get up first thing and I will, I'll start by, you know, with prayer. And so I'll get up and think about what I'm grateful for. And, Actually, I'm not good at prayer. I grew up in the church and, you know, had my rebellious years and, you know, went through all of that and, you know, fell out of love with that whole thing and that whole process. And however people, you know, whoever they pray to, whatever, that's your decision. That's your choice. But for me, you know, I came back to having a relationship with God and I found an app that helps me through that, helps me with prayer, makes me think about things. Because there's certainly so many other people who are so much smarter and more well connected than I am, right, with that. So I do that. That's the first thing. Then I spend, you know, a few minutes up to about 30 minutes now, because at first it was extremely challenging, but I do some meditation. And it started out, Todd, very simple. It was 10 purposeful, mindful, deep breaths. That's all it was. I just inhaled through my nose and exhale through my mouth 10 times. And it was all I could do just to count those 10 breaths, right? Because my mind's going a million miles an hour. Right. But like anything else in life, you know, when you first start out doing most anything in life, it's challenging. It's different. So it's going to be challenging. So it's taken me 2 or 3 years where now I can do that. And man, I tell you what, the balance I have emotionally, and that to me, that's what is part of the emotional balance, and that emotional strength or emotional health is balancing and just staying somewhere along the lines in between order and chaos of life, right? So spend 30 minutes or so doing meditation, and then I read. And I have a book that I'm interested in reading. A lot of times I love philosophy. I love reading about other successful people who have made it in life and made the best out of life. Some of those people are no longer with us. Some of the books are really old. Some of them are more up to date. So I really enjoy that type of book. I'm not really into fiction, but whatever. If you are, you are. I mean, I think building that mental strength and really that the mental health aspect of it, the part you can control, or the most part you can control, is strengthening your mind. And how you do that, to me, is you educate yourself. You add more value to your brain by reading what other people have done and learning about history and learning about others who have made the most out of life, or whatever subject you want to learn about, you know, whatever touches you. You know, if you think about it, you could pick any subject. We could talk about any subject. And if you go to Google and you Google that subject and what books are related on that, I'm not going to say it's infinite, but there's certainly probably hundreds, if not thousands, of books that would be written about that particular topic. So whatever it is in life you want to learn more about, become better at, whatever, you can get books to read about that and learn and build that mental strength. So after I read that book, I have another specific book that I've found tremendous value. Again, I'm into the philosophy thing. I love reading about and learning about philosophy, and especially ancient philosophy, and some of what those guys talked about 2000 plus years ago and how much it still is relatable today. It just blows my mind about that. But there's a book by Ryan Holiday. It's called The Daily Stoic. And it literally, for each day of the year, so today is August 1st. There's one in there for August 1st. And so, yes, every year I will be repeating those days. But a lot of that stuff, you know, you'll read it and you might forget it, whatever. But I do read that. So that's takes maybe 5 minutes. I mean, it doesn't take long at all because it's just one page, one passage. And then after I've completed my reading, that typically takes around 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes. I dedicate that amount of time. It's about 10 pages a day. I'm not the fastest reader. But if you think about it, 10 pages a day, I mean, that's what, 3,650 pages a year. It's around anywhere from 12 to 20 books a year that I've been reading every year. So
that's awesome.
As someone who, from the time I left college and you know, turned 40 years old and started all this stuff, I think it was really 42, started all this stuff, I probably read 5 books, right?
Right.
It's just embarrassing and whatever. Okay. But at the same time, I've read close to 50 books in the last 3 years now. So, you know, it's just, and that part is me that's building that mental strength. So after I've c- completing my prayer, my meditation, my reading, I write. And sometimes the words just pop out on the paper. Sometimes it's challenging to, you know, it's like, okay, what am I going to write about today? And when I, again, when I first started, I didn't really know what to say. I didn't know what to write about. I wasn't good at it. I'm probably still not great at it today, but I've been doing it every single day. And some days, all right, 4 pages worth of content. Some days it may be a paragraph. You know, it just depends on what's going on. So
you just have a notebook and you just flip it open, you write the date and you just start writing.
That's it. Blank notebook. Okay. I have filled out 4.5 journals now. So essentially I've written 4.5 books. A lot of it could just be, you know, drivel and may not make any sense. But the whole point of it, Todd, for me, and again, other people could find different value in it. The value I find in doing that is working through the thoughts that are in my mind, right? So everybody has thoughts. They have conversations with themselves, or at least whatever, however you think about it. I mean, you've got a subconscious and what you're conscious of. Sometimes that subconscious, you know, your ego, whatever you want to call it, can bring some thoughts in your mind or make you ask questions or think about things a certain way. And so I'll just, if something strikes me, I'll say, okay, well, here's the question. And I'll just start writing. Well, how do I feel about this question? What is my response to the question I'm asking myself? Right. So, you know, I think it was Tony Robbins that said, problems are questions that have not been answered. So if you keep asking questions, eventually you're going to find the answer, right? So I just keep asking myself questions and eventually I'm going to find an answer. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the answer that's going to solve everything, but eventually it's going to get me to where I need to be. And then finally, after all that, after I've done my prayer, my meditation, my reading and my writing, I go and I do some sort of physical exercise. And, you know, there's a million different things you can do with physical exercise. All the study and research that I've done has led me to the belief of, and there's obviously some science to back it up too, is that strength training is the best form of exercise. Cardio is great. Just doesn't build quite the muscles and everything like strength training does. Plus, if you want to be able to, you know, be in the best condition you can be, so when you and Marcy are 80 years old and still kicking it, still running around, right? Then you got to keep those muscles going. And it's not just, you know, it's not just about running every day, there's nothing wrong with running or doing cardio. But truly, if you want to sit down on the couch and stand back up comfortably or walk up and down stairs or whatever, you got to build some muscle to do that. Pick up a case of water. Absolutely. At Costco, put your, you know, suitcase up in the overhead without having to have somebody else help you. You gotta strengthen yourself. So anyway,
gotta build that. Yeah, I totally agree. I've over the last 3 years, I've shifted from, you know, used to do a lot more cardio kind of stuff, and I've shifted really for two reasons. One is because I believe in it. I see exactly what you're saying. I see folks in the gym that can run, you know, 10 miles. And I don't know if I could. I've never run 10 miles, but they,
yeah,
they have all sorts of injuries and they're not toned and they don't look like, at least, they can put that suitcase in the overhead. Right. But I see the folks that are balanced, where they do mostly strength training and a little bit of cardio. They seem to be more energetic and maybe I'm putting that on myself. Maybe I shouldn't reflect it on others, but that's what I feel.
Yeah.
And, the other part is I've got some kind of joint damage and surgeries and all that stuff. So I have to be kind of careful. So, you know, a guy in the gym asked me the other day, a good friend of mine, he's like, so, you know, do you have a routine? Like, do you have a thing you do every day? I go, there are some days where I come in the gym and I just exercise what doesn't hurt.
That's right. Well, you know, there's a saying that I firmly believe in this kind of, so I mix up my routines every 4 to 6 weeks just to, you know, because your body adapts just like your mind adapts. I mean, yeah. That's the thing about habits is you want to have certain established habits. You don't, I would imagine most people, at least those with somewhat proper hygiene, they don't think about brushing their teeth. They just do it, right? I mean, it's a habit that's built in over the years. So, you know, when it comes to exercise, you got to mix things up. Every 4 to 6 weeks, I'll change up because I don't want my body adapting to that and hitting that kind of plateau thing. But anyway, that to me is the best way to do it. Now, if somebody were to ask me, well, hey, what's the best exercise routine I can do? I would say it was probably the one you're not currently doing. Right.
So,
whatever that may be. If you're not on a routine, then it's probably the one you're not doing. And if you are, then you're probably doing okay. There's not a one size fits all, but that's the routine in a nutshell. And then when it comes to relational and financial, the relational piece, one thing that I've found that has become more beneficial because look, when I first started all this, I had some folks that we used to have large get-togethers at our house. We used to go different places and, it would become adults drinking and we're having a good time, party. I guess you could say, right. It's a party. So I have struggled a little bit with just completely abandoning all those relationships. At the same time though, like who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of success do you want? If you want to be a professional partier, then great. Hang out with people who love to party. If you want to be somebody who is extremely successful in starting and running a business, then go hang out with people who do that. If you want to be successful in, running a family and be that kind of parent who is extremely successful in raising their children and all of that, then be around those types of people. It truly is going to help you and you are going to be a reflection of, and they are going to be a reflection of you in that relational health piece. You're going to be the sum of, the handful of folks that you hang out with the most. And
that's part of that giving up stuff, right? If you want to do exactly something right to improve yourself, what are you willing to give up? And for everybody listening, that doesn't mean like cold turkey, you just stop, talking to your friends like that. You can do that, but you ease into, through this routine. You ease into the routine and you're doing writing and thinking and meditating, you'll learn where you want to focus and who you want in that circle to help you on that focus and that journey.
Here's what you'll find out, Todd, is when you start down that path and you truly write down what is it I value, you better be aligned with people who have not the same, but similar values. Because if you're not and your values are misaligned, then it's going to throw you off course. Now, at the same time, what that will also do is if you're upfront and honest with people and you say, look, here's what I've got going on and here's some things that I'm going to be doing differently, so I may not be hanging out as much or whatever the case may be, then you'll really find out who the friends are versus who those who, are just acquaintances or people that you just kind of hung out with and you knew them and they knew you, but not on that, that much deeper level that I think true relationships should be at. And again, that's my perspective. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just my perspective. That's my choice. That's my decision. It has been working for me. And I have built some very interesting and wonderful relationships since I've done that, and meeting, not that I hadn't met you, but spending a little bit more time with people like you and other folks that are out there. And it's led me to, some of the things that have opened up different doors that I really were thinking I had to do on my own. But, it's like, before you know it, going back to the million people that I'm trying to help, right? Before you know it, that million, once you hit a certain point, that million's going to just open up very quickly. And I know that it's going to take time. I don't know how long it's going to take to get there, but once it gets rolling, it's going to snowball and it's going to happen faster than I probably initially thought it would.
A tipping point. Yeah. So Dandy, you and I could talk for freaking days on all this stuff. I love it. I love what you're doing. I'm learning talking to you, and just, it's awesome. So if you listeners want to learn more, fms-fitmindsustain.com, just Google, fitness, mindfulness, sustainability. He's number one, comes up in Google's, but fms-fitmindsustain.com. You do group fitness, your six key health focus areas. That's what you do, and you help others, and you want to help a million people. And I hope you're counting, because I imagine you've helped hundreds at least at this point, maybe thousands, but hundreds at least.
Well, directly, it's probably less than that. Indirectly, that's the funny thing is you run into people you haven't seen in a while. Like, man, I love your posts. They're so inspirational, motivational, and I've right. been doing this, that, and the other. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. I love that. So indirectly, yeah. I don't know, but that's okay. I'm completely fine with that. So. I really
same with my podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I appreciate the fact that you started this thing, and you know, we talked about that, and I said, man, I'm looking forward. You hadn't even started it yet, but you've done it, and here we are. And I mean, that's what this is about, man. I love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. The just like we said before, just going and getting going. And I don't know where this is going to take me. This honestly started, as I shared with you, and I've shared with a couple of my earlier episodes, is. This started with, I moved into my office in COVID. I found this journal that I was keeping around business focused ideas. And I said, there's no one seeing this. Not to like, it's like, you know, I'm not some Hal Elrod, but you know, I at minimum want to have this for my girls. Cause they're starting their business and career journeys, and let me start there, but
love that.
It's coming fuller, right? I'm having guests like you. I'm getting, some of my stats just blow me away. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are listening in. And now I need to figure out how to make money off of this, right? I need to have some quiet time, like you said, and I need to start my journey of where do I want to go? Do I want to help a million people and all that? But I want to thank you so much for pushing me. As we walked out of Dunkin' Donuts a couple months back, I thought, I just committed myself to a podcast, and Andy's going to be one of my first guests, and I don't even know how to run a podcast. but thank you for pushing me, and I just have the utmost respect for you and what you're doing, and your willingness to share that with others, but particularly me. I mean, I really appreciate you taking time, and I will commit again, if I can support you in any way, what you're doing, because I believe in it and I think it's fantastic. So you call on me if you need me. So thanks again.
Love that. Thanks, Ty. I appreciate it.